All right, good morning to you once again. And I'll go ahead and let you know now the pastor is not sick, okay? I've had a lot of people already ask me that. No, he is not sick. He's preaching out this morning, okay? So y'all just pray for him and be generous to him. And cut me some slack, amen? I had a few of them say, oh, you're teaching this morning? Yes, I'm sorry. Praise God. It's going to get better. Preacher will be back. So when he gets back, see, it just makes you look more forward to him getting back. Amen? So he'll be back teaching again next Sunday, and I'm sure he'll be here Wednesday night. And, you know, he's just preaching off today, okay? So cut him some slack and give me a little slack because I need all the slack I can get. Brother Bradley, one time when I was taking one of his courses, he said that if you'll teach and preach on your own faults, you'll never run out of anything to teach or preach. And that is so true, folks. I mean, look at yourself and just think of all the things that you need to talk to God about. And you can teach and preach on any one of those things. So that's what I do. I just think about the things I need to, you know, get right or get better in my life. And then I relay that to you. So, and we're all sinners saved by grace, right? So we all pretty much need the same things anyhow. So it works out pretty good. So if you open your Bibles this morning to the book of Psalm, go to Psalm 22. Most of you probably already know what that is. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning. We talked a little bit about it a couple of weeks ago, about the power of the church. And I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about the power of prayer and how that affects the church and how it affects our lives. Preacher, a couple of weeks ago, he left a message for us in the handout here. If you got this on August the 11th, he was asking you to pray for our schools that we're fixing to reopen, and we need much prayer, and pray for the students and pray for the parents. And I know we sometimes read this and we say, yeah, we'll pray for them, but then we never do. You know, it's really, really a serious issue to pray for people. I look at my grandchildren, and I look at my children, and I often think how much better off would they be if I'd have spent more time on my face before God for my children. Folks, we need to pray for our children. My children are grown now. But we still have a lot of children here, and we need to be praying for these children. They need our prayer. You know, God doesn't act if we don't act, you know, towards God. We have got to show our God that we need him. And how do we communicate with God? Through prayer. You know, we go out, we carry our busy lives, and we're all busy. And so we neglect prayer. Now, I'm guilty. I know you're guilty. And we just need to change that. That should be first and utmost in our lives. I was in a restaurant the other evening, and every table that you looked at, they had one of these little gadgets, telephones, smartphones, and they're all sitting there like this. And they can't even hardly eat. You know, they're playing on this phone. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have a smartphone. It's better than having a dumb phone, right? But at the same time, It's the smartphones and things like that are pulling us away from our families and away from our God. You know, we need to be in communication. Just think about it. If these people that you see doing this, if we could get them to focus that much on God and their prayer life, how much of a difference could we make in the world? We can make a huge difference. The problem is that we don't do that. We say we will. We'll come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights. And then we say amen. When we hit that door, that's the end of it. It's like we leave it behind us. And that's not the way we're supposed to be. And with that being said, read this little pamphlet. If you've still got it from last week, if you have not read it, I know a lot of you open it up and look at the pictures. There's very few in there, so it doesn't take you long to look at the pamphlet. And you look at the financial report, and you file it, okay? But read it. It's very good. It's got some good information in here on prayer, and it'll show you how God will make a difference in lives if we pray. Psalms 22. It says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent. Now we know that this is Jesus on the cross. This is Jesus being prophesied in Psalm. Now at this moment on the cross, when God had turned his eyes from Christ, you know, we know as Christians, we know that Jesus was taking on the sins of the world. He all the filth of the world, all the sins that you and I have ever committed is on the Lord Jesus at this time. So did God forsake him at that time? Yes, for a moment. But why? Have you ever prayed in your life and felt like God's forsaking you? How many times have you ever prayed and act like and you feel like God didn't answer your prayer? Well, there's two responses to that. First of all, sometimes he answers it and he just says no. You know, we don't like it when God says no, but sometimes he says no. And then there's other times that he doesn't answer a prayer because of the sin that's in our lives. We've got so much between us and our God that our God doesn't hear us. And we think because we're living in a grace age that doesn't pertain to us. It does pertain to us. This entire Bible pertains to us, every bit of it. So we're going to look at a few passages this morning, and we're going to see how God looks at us with and without prayer. I want you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 9. If you don't want to turn in your Bibles, we're going to go through quite a few verses this morning. So if you don't want to go through the verses, just take a pen and write them down. And then later on, you can look them up and read them. And you'll benefit from it. John 9 and 31. It says, we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. So we understand now that God doesn't hear, he doesn't hear sinners. Well, this is the first thing people say. They say, well, this is Old Testament Bible. We're talking about New Testament John, but when we're talking about sinners, we're talking about Old Testament. We're talking about lost people, right? That's what we're talking about. Well, today you and I are saved, but we're still sinners. See, we live in the grace age, no doubt about it, but we still sin. And because we're saved by grace doesn't excuse us from sin. We still have sin in our lives. And like the preacher always says, we need to keep short accounts with God. We need to be in prayer continuously all the time. If you've had a sin today, you need to be in prayer with God tonight. We need to keep that slate clean. We don't want our prayers to fall on deaf ears. We don't want to get so much sin between ourselves and our God that he doesn't hear us. And don't get me wrong, because I'm not saying that if God doesn't answer your prayer that you have some sin in your life that he doesn't answer. That's not so. Not what I'm saying. Because sometimes he just says no. That makes me think of Joseph. Remember Joseph? His brothers sold him into slavery. Do you think Joseph prayed and asked God to get him out of that situation? Sure he did. What did God say? No. God had other plans for Joseph. So sometimes in our lives, we come across that same thing. Sometimes God has plans for us. And just like Joseph or just like Paul or any of the other disciples, he allows things to happen in our lives that's going to suit him for the future. So we have to keep that in mind as well. But at the same time, which one is it? Is it because God said no? Or is it because I have something in my life that God's not hearing my voice? And when we talk about this, we talk about the power of the church. Folks, let me tell you something. Every individual in this church, every single member that's a born-again believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're a member of this church, then you have a functioning part in this church. So when you're not here, part of this church is missing. You know, we have a tendency to think that I'm not important. You are important. God has fashioned each and every one as he sees fit. In other words, he put me where I'm at today because that's where he chose for me to be. He put you where you're at today because that's where he chose for you to be. So if you're not in your spot, the church suffers for that. If each and every one of us have power in our lives and we're in communication with our God, and the closer we are to God, the more power that's in our lives, the closer walk we have with God. Is there any other way that you're going to get closer to God other than prayer? How else are you going to get closer to God? You're going to read his word and pray. There's no other way that you're going to get closer to God. If you're not reading his word and talking to him, how do you get closer to your wife? How did you meet your wife? By not speaking to her? I don't think so. You pursued a relationship with her, and vice versa, her with him. But you communicate, and it's the same way with God. How do we expect to have a relationship with our God and we don't talk to him? Because, folks, that's what we're doing as Christians. We come to church, and we say, well, I went to church Sunday. Well, that's good. That's following the commandments of God. We're supposed to gather ourselves together. But that doesn't make our relationship personal with God. That doesn't make our relationship better. We need to be in prayer constantly with our Lord. What's the Bible say? Pray without ceasing. Does that mean to walk around all day long praying? No. But that does mean that you need to be in thought. You need to be in thought of prayer with God all the time. You need to be in communication. You don't ever drive down a road talking to the Lord? You haven't been on I-4 lately, have you? Boy, you'll get in contact with the Lord real quick out there. You know, and sometimes for the wrong reasons. But nevertheless, we need to be in prayer with our God. Go to Psalms 66. Psalm 66. I went to the wrong book here. Psalm 66. I don't have it marked in mine either. I got too many of them to mark them all, so. Everybody there? Read it with me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not what? Hear. So, folks, if we're regarding iniquity in our hearts, God's not going to hear us. And I've heard people say, "Well, that's not so because I'm living in the New Testament book, and that's an Old Testament book." That's not so, folks. What should we do? Take the Old Testament and rip it out and throw it away because it's of the past times, right? That's not so. All of this Bible is God's instruction to us, every single bit of it. It's all good. Now, we're not trying to keep the law, but we're still supposed to obey the law. We're not keeping the law. When I say we're not keeping the law, I mean we're not trying to keep the law to go to heaven. We're not trying to do works to go to heaven. But we're still supposed to obey God's laws. We're still supposed to keep the law. And when we don't, anytime we do that, we have iniquity in our hearts. Folks, let me tell you something. When we have a problem with a brother and you don't clean that up at the end of the night, then you have something in your heart that you need to get rid of. When you write, if you don't have that problem, like I said a minute ago, write down I-4 and you'll get it real quick. Everything that goes on, you become angry, don't you? You get frustrated. And when we get frustrated, we don't always think proper thoughts. So is that a sin? Is it a sin to have a bad thought? Sure it is. We're not supposed to think bad thoughts about people. And folks, we all do that. We're all guilty of that. Each and every one of us is guilty of that. So we need to get rid of these things. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. And that's any type of injustice or immorality. And folks, this is according to God's laws, not man's laws. So when we look at the immorality and we look at the injustice, it's not what we as people say is just or moral, but it's what God calls just and moral. So looking at that, a lot of us have some serious issues that we need to deal with. It's matters of things in the church that we just sometimes look at them to be little things. And we got to remember, with God, there is no little things. Everything's big. Every sin matters. So why do we need to go to the Lord in prayer? We need to clean that up. We need to get rid of that. We need to pray to our God and get rid of this every day, every morning, every night, throughout the day. That's where our power lies. How can I, if I come to church filthy, I'm talking about if I'm not in contact with my God, if I come to church filthy, what help am I to the church? What power do I bring with me to the church? So, and then if I'm not here at all, what power have I brought to the church? See, when I think about the article that was in this little brochure, this little handout, where they was praying to close a beer joint. And they prayed, and the beer joint got burnt down, so it closed. How many things in our lives every day that we see that we should be praying for that we don't pray for? And then we claim that there's no power in our lives. There's no power in our God. There's no power in our church because we don't use it. We don't use what God's given us. And we're so full of filth that we can't ask God for anything and expect to get it. We don't believe it when we pray for it. Go with me to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. I'm trying to stay with my notes so I don't just get off track here. 59 and verse 1, it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Now, at this time in Isaiah here, the Lord has been dealing with Israel in regards to its unfaithfulness and its polluting of the Sabbath and not teaching that the house of God is open to everybody. So that's where this is coming from. God's talking to them. And then he's telling them that they're not keeping the Sabbath and they're not keeping it the Lord's way. They're doing it their own way. You don't see that today in the churches, do you? I mean, they bring in the rock and roll music to the church. Is that keeping God? Today is our Sabbath. So is that keeping God's Sabbath the way God wants it? No. So do you feel like God would deal with us just the same as he would have Israel at this time? Sure he will. And that's what he's telling them right here. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Now look at 1 John 1:8. 1 John 1:8. It says, "If we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Folks, we're all born of the sin curse. We all have sin. Whether you're born again or lost, you still have sin in your lives. And the good thing about God is if you take that sin to him in prayer, and you pray to him and you communicate with him, he is telling us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You understand what God's telling you? You know, there may be some little something I don't understand. Maybe there's something that I'm doing wrong that I don't even realize that I'm doing wrong, that I don't understand it's wrong. You understand that God is telling us here that he cleanses us from all unrighteousness because we went to him in prayer. And backing up to where we were just a moment ago in Isaiah, when I was reading that right there and I was going through chapter 66 and or 56, 58, 57, 58, and you're reading how Israel was being adulterous and everything to the Lord. And I just thought about, I thought about our government and the way it does, and the killing of babies. Do you think God maybe wants to react to that situation a little bit? See, I skipped one verse. If we were to go to Isaiah 1:15, it's where there is a call of repentance. God even mentions Sodom and Gomorrah, referring to the head there, the government. He was referring to how they ruled as just like Sodom and Gomorrah. And that made me think about our government today. And you see the state and city councils trying to bring in this homosexual agenda all across the country. And it's the same thing. Same thing right here. You know, we need to repent from this. And how does this take place? Folks, when you and I fail to pray, when we don't get on our faces before God and ask God to put a stop to this, ask God to help us to do whatever it is that we need to do as a church and as a people to put a stop to it. Let me ask you a question. Where is the cry of the church when it comes to killing babies? Where is the cry? It should be a cry like they haven't heard, you know, for years and years. I mean, there should be an outrage about the killing of our children. But the church is silent. Sure, you got Dr. Carter here that's preaching against it. And you got some other good pastors around this country that's preaching against it. But there's very few. And according to God, it's up to the pastors to take a stand, preach against sin, preach against killing the baby. You know, we don't like to hear, some of us don't like to be preached against. We don't like to hear that what we're doing is wrong. We don't like to hear that because my prayer life is not what it should be, that I'm in sin. But we are. If our prayer life is not where it needs to be, then we're not following God's instruction as he's given them to us. And if we do that, we're in sin. But we don't like to hear that. But that's the reality. That's truth. And folks, we can put a stop to these things if we prayed as a church. And I've heard people say, but you know, because I remember back when I was a little boy, the church had power. When you was talking about the church, it meant something to somebody. You wouldn't dare, you had to worry about locking the church door. Nobody's going to go into a church and deface anything. It's not that way anymore. The church is losing its power because of its people. Where's the church? The church is the people, not the building. We are the church, we the people. But when we don't take a stand with God and get our lives where it needs to be and get in communication with God, how can we expect God to change things? But this is what we'll do. We'll say, well, you know, it's a shame that all these babies are being killed, but then what do we do about it? See, there's not a cry. Now, we do stand on the side of the roads every year and hold up our signs and whatnot and praise God for that. We take a stand, but we need to go further than that. And the best thing that any of you can do is pray. When's the last time that you earnestly prayed for God to spare these unborn children? When's the last time you earnestly prayed and asked God to do that? See, I don't know about you, but I believe God answers prayer. And we say that we believe God answers prayer, but then we don't pray. But if we believe God answer our prayer, we would pray, wouldn't we? We'd be sincere about every day praying. Praying for our children, praying for our own families, praying for our church. How about praying for one another? I need your prayers. Dr. Carter needs your prayers. Everybody in here, all of our school teachers, they need your prayers. And if we continue to petition God, God will answer our prayers. Matthew 13:58, I'm just going to read it to you. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. This is when Jesus, back in his own country, he didn't do a lot of works, mighty works, because they didn't believe in him. They didn't have any faith in the Lord. How about us? Do we believe that God is going to answer our prayers? Because I honestly believe that if you sincerely believe that God would answer your prayer, you'd pray. I believe that. Because if you pray like nothing is really going to happen, then you don't believe God's going to answer your prayer. So folks, we got to pray like we believe it. James 4:3. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Well, when we're asking God for things, that's just to better ourselves and not for the glory of God or for the petition of the church, then we're not asking properly. We're just asking out of greed. Now, does that mean that we have to be poor? No, it doesn't. But it means that we need to be asking for things of God. Psalms 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So he tells us right there that if we delight ourselves in God, he'll give us the desires of our heart. But not when we're seeking things of ourselves, but when we're seeking the things of the Lord. And in Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall receive them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. So he's telling us here that if we believe, we'll receive. But at the same time, the very next verse, he's telling me that I'm supposed to forgive you like he forgave me. See, there's two sides to that coin, isn't there? Not just a one-headed coin. I got to move on pretty quick. We're about out of time. Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. We're supposed to get rid of that. We're not supposed to harbor that in our hearts. Folks, I think about Peter. Remember when Peter was in prison? And the angel of the Lord come and he freed Peter, took him outside the gates, and Peter was kindly woke up out of a dead sleep. So Peter was not exactly sure what was going on, but finally when he got outside the gates and he cleared his head and realized, hey, God freed me. He realized that. But Peter made his way on over to the church where they was praying, or the house where they was praying, and they've been praying all night long, all day and all night, been praying without ceasing that God would free Peter, because Herod was about to execute him. And Peter comes up there and he knocks on the door, and a young maiden named Rhoda, she runs and she answers the door, but she doesn't open the door. She recognizes Peter's voice. And rather than opening the door, you think she'd have been just so excited to hear from him because he's supposed to be in prison. Well, God has freed him. But rather than opening the door, she runs back and she tells the others, Peter is at the door. What did they tell her? You're mad. You're mad. You're out of your mind. Now, wait a minute. This is the church gathered together praying for God to release Peter, and he does so. And then when Peter knocks on the door, you're mad. They were praying in unbelief. They was praying and never had any idea that God was seriously going to answer their prayer. Folks, that's the way too many Christians pray today. We pray in unbelief. And then we can't believe that God doesn't move in our lives. When we're praying, just like the church was praying there with Peter, we're praying the same way. We're praying for somebody that has cancer. And then we'll finish praying, and you know you've done this. They'll pray, and then later on they'll say, well, you know, that person would be lucky to have another month to live. Wait a minute. Didn't you just get through praying that God was going to spare this person? God's going to raise this person up and show himself mighty amongst his people? Well, they'll be lucky to live a month. Folks, that's why the church is losing its power. We're not in communication with God, and we don't believe our God. And just because God says no sometimes doesn't mean he's not going to answer your next prayer the way you want it answered. But we're to pray in belief, not unbelief. We're to pray believing God. And some of us feel like, well, it doesn't do any good to pray, or maybe we don't really need to pray. Have you ever looked through your Bible and seen how many times Jesus prayed? I got an entire list here of prayer that I can give you where Jesus prayed. Now, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus is our Savior? Do you believe that Jesus is God? He prayed. Do you think that you're better off than Christ? He prayed. So if Jesus prayed, where should you and I be? Think about that. Our God prayed to his Father. If he was in prayer with God, where should we be? And folks, I'm not getting on anybody. I'm as guilty as anybody in this room. You know, I look back in the past with my children and even my grandchildren today, and it just breaks my heart, because if I had prayed more, if I'd have been on my face before my God, asking his mercies upon my children, where would they be today? Where would their families be today? Folks, we need to pray. We need to get on our faces before God. We need to be praying for our wives, our husbands, our children. We need to be praying for our church, our pastor. You know, it's pretty easy to sit back and think of all the things that are wrong, all the things that should be done differently. It's pretty easy to say something about, well, the pastor should have been here today. We wouldn't have had to listen to Brother Mike, right? It's easy to do those things. You know, it's just as easy to pray. Rather than spending our time worrying about all the things that are wrong, why don't we spend our time praying that God fix all these things? Because, folks, as long as we're people and we're in the church, guess what? We got problems. Because we're all sinners. Each and every one of us is sinners. Every single one of us break God's laws every day in one fashion or the other. And we want to see power back in our church. We need to get powers back in our life so that when we come together in the church, we have power. Where God will bless his house. And God will move for his people. I don't know about you, but my God's still on the throne. Amen. My God's still alive. And my God still answers prayer. We need to pray. Amen. God bless you. We're out of time. What's our bus count?